Well, we know that the sun is for days and years. That's what controls, that's how you beacon the years and the day. A day ends, you know, at evening when the sun goes away. The year ends at vernal equinox when it makes its revolution of 365. But it has nothing to do with beaconing the appointments, the moon, the months, and the weeks. That's the moon's job. And Psalms 104:19 teaches this, that he appointed the moon for seasons. That word seasons is holy days or festivals or appointments. You can't look at the sun and say, here's the 25th day of the sun. Neither can you look at the moon and tell when the year and the day begins. So there's two. Everything's got its order. Now, listen to this. What they're wanting to do, Brother Buddy, through ignorance and not taking heed to Yahweh's word, they're wanting the sun to not only be for days and years, they want it to be for the weekly appointment.
Yes, they do.
And that's a solar 1 through 7. So they got three things set out there for the sun. Not only days and years, they want it to beacon the feast day, and they want it to take the place of the moon. And that's just, you know, it's just a sly form of getting people into giving honor and glory more to the sun and man setting up these days. You
right.
sort of follow what I'm saying?
Yes,
it's abomination. Do you know what? The abomination that maketh desolate is false. In other words, the temple was destroyed, Brother Buddy, back in Nebuchadnezzar, way back yonder, because they went away from his Sabbath. They couldn't get their land rest and the weekly Sabbath and different things. Well, it was destroyed again by Titus in A.D. 70. Same thing, Sabbath breaking. What's happened is, Lamentation 2:6 said he caused them to forget his feast days, and they forgot them now. But, you know, let me say this, and then we can get into whatever you got going here. But
okay.
You know how when a day, let's say Pearl Harbor or any day that goes down in history, such as the signing of the Declaration of Independence,
right.
George Washington's birthday, 9/11, that's September the 11th. These dates goes down in history, and hundreds of years from now, people can look back at these dates. But there's a date that went down in history when Jerusalem and the temple was destroyed, and you can pinpoint these dates. These dates are pinpointed in history. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. Did you know that everywhere that you can go back and pinpoint a weekly Sabbath in history, not only all the evidence we've given, mathematical, historical, and scriptural evidence, and offer a $10,000 reward to anybody and pinpoint a weekly Sabbath on any other day
Amen.
Than by the moon.
Amen.
Listen to this. Here's a pinpointed date. I've got many of them, and let me read this one right here.
All right.
It's the temple was pinpointed on the date. Now, listen to this. This is found, I'll tell you where it's found. I read it. Let me see. It says, late on the day of the night, close to nightfall, remember the night, that was on the 8th, right?
Right.
They set the temple on fire, and it continued to burn the entire next day on the 10th. That's on page 206 there, and I'm going to give you the words found there.
Okay.
When the temple was destroyed for the first time at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, now that's the first time it was destroyed, listen, captain of the guard, it says, that day was the night of AB, and it was the day fallen Shabbat. Okay? If it's the ninth of AB and the day fallen Shabbat, that means Sabbath was on the 8th, right?
That is correct.
Listen to this. And it was the year fallen, the sabbatical year. They pinpointed this destruction of temple. It was a very important monumental event. And similarly, when the temple was destroyed a second time at the hands of Titus, the destruction occurred on the very same day. In other words, Josephus records that it was on the 8th day, that would be a Sabbath. One of the Romans there, a soldier, and I got all this information on my website there, but talked about this soldier said it was the day of Saturday because they started naming, the Romans called it Saturday's day, but it was really the 8th day. Josephus said it was the 8th day of the month.
Okay.
Well, listen to this. Here's what's neat about it. Let me tell you where it's found. This is found in the Talmud itself. It stands, S T CEINSALTS edition, volume 14, part 2, 1995 by Israel Institute for Talmud Publications and Malta Books, page 205 and 206. And that's where you find that. Now, they have recorded, and it's other places too, not just here, but it's recorded that the temple was destroyed and it was set on fire late on the ninth, burned all day, but it's recorded that that was the Sabbath, was on the eighth. This is my point. The Sabbath was on the eighth. And I got other places, and like I said, I think I got this and others up on my website at lunarsabbath.info, I-N-F-O, lunarsabbath.info, showing that any place that you can pinpoint a weekly Sabbath, this is on top of all the evidence of Scripture and all we're given, but any place you can go back in history before they started using the Roman pagan calendar, the solely only 1 through 7 day count, you know,
mm-hmm.
all the Sabbaths were on the 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th. Just like Josephus records that they brought their engines, you read this just the other day, the battering rams up to the wall on the Sabbath because mm-hmm. they found out they didn't got least resistance, you know, the Jews wouldn't fire them.
Correct.
And they got the engine set up on the 22nd, which was a weekly Sabbath. It said it tacked them on the next day, which was the 23rd. So they got their engines in place on the Sabbath because they could get close to them without, you know, getting stones thrown on their head. But anyhow, go ahead. I just thought I'd throw that in there because there's many pinpointed dates in history and ancient calendars that you never find a weekly Sabbath on any other day. Same way in Scripture. We pinpointed 72 weekly Sabbaths in Scripture, and every one of them's on one of them dates.
And that's
and
exactly.
And over $10,000 war, somebody found one that's not on them.
Well, Arnold, you know, that's not arrogant teaching. You know, the Bible says that the word is for correction. Now, we don't expect everybody to be correct, not even ourselves. You said it a while ago that even me and you, as long as we've studied together, we have several differences of understanding. However, when it comes to the doctrine, the Bible said, I would that you all spake the self same thing. When, if you got in the mouth of two or three witnesses, you let every word be established. And if you can come and make that statement that you just made, that the Bible pinpoints the Sabbaths on the 8th, the 15th, and the 22nd and 29th, well, if that's true on a lunar phase, why do people take us and contend with us and say, well, you ought to have mercy on people that's not doing that. You know, God loves everybody. Well, now let me show you something about God loving everybody. That's not true. He hates the very appearance of evil. And if anybody is walking outside his truths, they're evil as far as he's concerned. Now, if you draw near to him, he's going to draw near to you. Brother Arnold, it brings up the subject, and I want you to go back. We're going to go into the Gregorian calendar and the fallacy of the Gregorians. First of all, we've got to prove, Brother Arnold, and we will do this very merciful and very patiently. And although sometimes we are a little repetitious about trying to get this truth out, because it needs to be repeated, because a lot of people are hard of hearing. And in any case, you've got to teach the word and be instant and out and reprove and rebuke. So, Brother Arnold, I'm so glad when we got into this precious truth. And you know, me and you talked about this Sabbath truth. It is one of the most provable and the most exciting doctrines in the Bible that you could feel like on today's been our Sabbath on the lunar calendar. And we worship him, and tomorrow is a new moon, as you very well know. Well, how do we know it's a new moon? Well, we know it's a new moon just exactly like David and Jonathan in the 20th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. They knew that it was going to be tomorrow, going to be a new moon. But that's not hard to understand.
Oh, no, it's not. What makes it exciting is you know that you're looking at the same moon that they looked at, and keeping the same day that they kept. You ain't got to worry about some man telling you when to begin the count of the 6 working days. What they add up, it's equal 41 or 46 to 1 in verse 3-2. It's very powerful scriptures where Yahweh Bible himself teaches you that there's three categories of days. He said you got, you know, it teaches you got Sabbaths and new moons and ordinary working days. He said the gates to be shut on the six working days,
right,
but open on the Sabbath and the day of the new moon, which teaches these 2 days is not one of the six working days, but after a Sabbath or after a new moon, your six work days begin. So you got your last Sabbath of the month, then you leave the gates on open on the new moon day.
Mm-hmm.
Then you begin your six working days.
Correct.
And that's why come all the Sabbath winds up on 15th, 22nd, and 9th, Brother Buddy.
Uh-oh.
It don't take no rocket science. It's not. Anybody with two brains can figure out if they'll just get out of that tradition. And see, they realized that the month was originally by the moon.
Yeah.
They'll acknowledge that. Of course, they don't keep the new moons, which they should, because they will in the new heaven, new earth. He said from one new moon to another, one Sabbath to another, all flesh will worship on them days. So the Sabbath is still going to be by the moon even then, Isaiah 66. But they'll acknowledge the new moons, and that they did. Said, when will the new moon be gone that we can buy corn the Sabbath, that we can set forth wheat, and different scriptures that teaches that the new moon's a worship day. It's not counted in with the six work days, no
right.
more than the weekly Sabbath is.
Right.
It's not as strict as the weekly Sabbath. We ain't saying the new moon's a week, strict like the weekly Sabbath, but we are saying it's a worship day.
Right.
Well, they'll acknowledge that the new moon, but then they'll turn around and count it in with the six working days when they get to it.
Well, you know, Brother Arnold, let me show you something about the importance, and we're going to stress tonight. Just because that we stress the importance of keeping the lunar calendar as the proper Sabbath days, we're not denying anyone salvation or revelation to grow in grace and knowledge in these false these time movements. But let me show you something here, and this is how that the Father comes down upon people that know to do good and do it not. In 1 Kings in chapter 12, verse 32, listen to this. Jeroboam. Now remember that the two houses had split, the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Jeroboam ruled over the 10 northern kingdoms, houses, and Rehoboam, he ruled over the house of Judah and the house of Benjamin. Now notice this. And he wanted to keep a festival up in the northern kingdom. He didn't want to keep it at the same time that the house of Judah was keeping it. And so he changed the date. Now notice how important this is for us to not change dates and times. In it says, on the eighth day, well, let me back up just a moment here. Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month. Now you know the feast is in the seventh month according to the Bible, that we should keep the tabernacles, which is the Feast of Tabernacles, on the seventh month. But on the eighth day, he ordained a feast, in the eighth month, he ordained a feast on the, listen to this now, brother, on the 15th day. He got the day right. He knew that that was a Sabbath day, the 15th of the lunar calendar that month, but it was the wrong month. And so he was corrected, because they kept a feast like a feast that was in Judah. And he went up to the altar, and so he did this in Bethel, sacrificing, and in the high places, and he caused the priests to offer up this strange fire on the altar which he had made in Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, and he devised it in his own heart. Well, did you know that the Bible said there's a way that seemeth right? A Saturday seemed right to me, Brother Arnold.
That's right.
Sunday seemed right to me. I have nothing to compare it to. But here we are. We're not trying to offend. We're trying to bless and lead the people out of darkness into the correct time. And if they refuse the word after they hear it, it would have been better for them not to hear the word than to hear it and not obey it.
Well, they won't get offended if they love his law. The law teaches that the Sabbath is a Moed and the moon is for Moeds. It's that simple. And if they would just believe that and listen to it, but like you said, and the scripture teaches that Jeroboam, it was a month that he devised of his own heart.
Right.
Well, this week is, it's a week that Julius Caesar introduced of his own heart. You know, he was down there. He was going with Cleopatra before Mark Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading up a little bit on him today. And, you know, she was queen of Egypt. Now, Egypt abandoned. My encyclopedia said they were the first one to abandon the lunar wrecking, the solar lunar, and went to a straight solar. And it says possibly because of the sun worship. This is what my encyclopedia said. But so, anyhow, we know that the Queen of Sheba, you know, in Egypt, was notorious for sun worship.
Right.
And we believe it takes both the sun and the moon. So if we try to take and make the moon rule the year and the day, or take the sun to point the seasons, then we're going against what Yahweh teaches in His Word, and we're devising a week or a Sabbath of our own heart. He appointed the moon for these feast days, including the weekly feast, after 6 work days. And it's not man's job. He didn't point a calendar or some man to tell you when they are.
Right.
And so, you know, it's just, we've done talked several hours on these tapes and give them irrefutable proof and its apples, and challenge and give us one conclusive place in Scripture where it was on any other date than the 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th. The weekly seventh-day Sabbath that we're to rest is on the 8th day of the month. Seventh day of the week, eighth day of the month, every time. And they can't find no place where it was. In history either. You know, I give you an example. Any time a pinpointed date goes down in history, you can go back and see what date it happened. We read right here, it just so happened that the temple, 2 times in a row, and there ain't no coincidence.
No, it's not.
That the Sabbath was there, you know?
Yes. And we know, I think you made the point, Brother Arnold, that the enemy of Israel, knowing that they were Sabbath keepers, they knew exactly when the Israelite Sabbath came, and they would attack on the Sabbath, knowing that Israel would, or they would move their battering rams and things into position, knowing that Israel would not respond unless they were attacked.
Right.
So it was appropriate for them to burn the temple or to destroy it or raise it, which is what they did, and. So we've got some things here that we're looking at that is basically scripturally proven, and let me read a little portion of the error of the Gregorian calendar. A year is not an arbitrary period of time; it is astronomic in reality, in so much as it represents the time it takes for the Earth to orbit around the Sun. A good calendar, therefore, needs to match this period of time. It takes 365.242 days for the Earth to complete the trip. In other words, that's 365 and almost a quarter of a day. Instead of adding 0.242 of a day, which is 5 hours and 48 minutes and 30 seconds, to a 365-day year, the leap year system was devised. Every 4 years, listen to this, Brother Arnold, an extra day was added to the 365-day calendar in the regular calendar, thereby creating 366-day years. This system is relatively accurate, but, now here, listen, but 2.242 is not exactly the 0.250 of a day which it needs to be for the leap year to work perfectly. And over the centuries now, here's the very important thing that we're trying to talk. You talked about the Julian calendar, which we're going to address right here. Over the centuries, the 0.008 of a day, which was 11 minutes and 30 seconds, it began to accumulate. And the continuing accumulation caused by the inaccuracies of the Julian calendar, and you mentioned it in 46 B.C. when it was brought in, came to an end in 1582. Pope Gregory the 13th stated that 10 days in October were to be removed from the calendar. Now, this is the same calendar that everybody used it today to declare that Saturday is the seventh-day Sabbath or Sunday is the first day of the week. But he ordered that to be removed. In other words, they're going to redesign the calendar. Now, specifically, he struck the 5th through the 14th from the month, which created a very bizarre October in 1582. And you can imagine what people's schedule looked like during that month. Now, can you imagine what them seven-day continuous cycle people were doing back there, Arnold? Pope Gregory the 13th, whom the modern calendar is named after, we refer to as the Gregorian, also established a system to prevent the accumulation from developing all over again. Every 4 years, now listen to the plan that they worked out, Brother Arnold. Every 4 years, divisible by four would continue to be a leap year. But now listen what it said. But years divisible by 100 would not, unless they are also divisible by 400. The year 2000 was one of those special years that comes once every four centuries. 2000 is divisible by 100, but is also divisible by 400, and therefore it was designated as a leap year, and the new Gregorian calendar is far superior to the inaccurate Julian calendar that it replaced. But now listen to this. This is their acknowledgement. The Catholic Church. But it is still not perfect. There were minuscule accumulations of time, and perhaps the most interesting event was that in thousands of years, listen to this now, Brother Arnold, in thousands of years in the future, another correction will have to be enacted. Now, what do you think about that timepiece thing, Arnold?
Well, if you go back to the creation calendar, it self-adjusts, it corrects itself, because approximately every third year you have a 13th moon and it brings the seasons back in line automatically, and it self-adjusts. It's my understanding that I think it was 10 or 11 days, I was thinking it was 11 days, that they had to, their seasons had done gotten out of sequence when Julius Caesar introduced the calendar before Gregory got a hold to it. It had got out. In other words, their Easter time wasn't coming when it was supposed to. It was getting 10, 11 days off. And the way they done it, I used to tell people, well, it miraculously, when they done it, they still kept their week intact. Saturday, Sunday, and all this still fell in line.
Right.
So what they done when they took the 10, 11 days out of there, they done it in such a way, and it ain't no miracle or nothing. You just do it. And it'll still keep the week intact. You follow what I'm saying?
I follow what you're saying.
And I used to tell people that, you know, they'd tell me, well, how do you know Saturday's the Sabbath? I said, well, first of all, the Jews kept up with it. And they would mention about the Romans having the eighth-day week and this and that and the other and what we're talking about here. I said, yeah, but it was miraculously kept up. But it was no miracle. It's just what he done. And it's not, you know, was time keep. Think about this, buddy. We got this calendar. Yellow would don't mix bitter and sweet, and he don't have his holy Sabbath. On that calendar that people are using, it don't even have the new moons. It don't have the Day of Atonement. It don't have none of his other holy worship days. Why would he have the holy weekly worship day on there? And it's got the year beginning in the dead of winter. It's got your month, just count 30, 31 days. It's got your day beginning at 12 midnight. Why would it have the week right? You know, people are so deceived to think that y'all was mixing salt and fresh water or Twitter and beef. It's just not so. He's not got his weekly Sabbath on that day. That's a man-made artificial count. And in order to do that, you have to have an international date line, because you got to start the date somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So they put it out in the Pacific Ocean, and it divides, you know, these islands and different ones. If they put it down the street, on one side of the street, the day would be holy, like Saturday the first day, and on the other side of the street, it would be Sunday the second day, and the day wouldn't be holy when you cross the street. But this problem goes away with the lunar Sabbath, because the same sun rising and the same moon, the same day on both sides of the street.
Amen.
With man-made calendar, you have to have a man-made date line.
Amen.
And that in itself should wake somebody up. I mean, think about it. Here you got two islands out in the Pacific Ocean watching the sun rise and the sun set and the moon. And on one island's holding, the other island right next to it's not holding, you know?
Amen.
That don't make sense.
That's a Brother Arnold, that's a powerful explanation. You know, back when I was seeking, of course, I was there to keep her, and I was seeking to be sanctified. I had fasted up as many as 40 days at a time, many 3 and 4 weeks fast, trying to get sanctified. I wanted to be sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, and that's really what I wanted. Well, now listen, let me give you an example of sanctification. Of course, at that time that I was in Sardis Alpha, I didn't know this. If I could have read this and got some understanding, or had met someone like you or myself now, or some other one like we met Brother Lamb that brought this to our attention, Brother Arnold, we all have to have teaching and we all have to submit to it. Listen to this, 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 17, and then you can elaborate on it. Let me read it. Now they begin to sanctify on the first day of the first month. Now, that's a new moon, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And on the eighth, listen to this, and on the eighth day of the month, they came to the vestibule of Yahweh. And so they sanctified the house of Yahweh in 8 days. And on the 16th day of the first month, they finished. Now notice how they began on the new moon. They came to Yahweh's vestibule on the eighth day of the moon and made an end to the day after the 15th Sabbath. Then on the 16th day of the moon, which would be the first working day of the week. Brother Arnold, that's sanctification, brother, appearing to him on his times. How can people get around that when they're trying to keep a Saturday continue 7 days? And Brother Arnold, after you comment on this example in 2 Chronicles 29:17 here, it leads us over to the book of Joshua, chapter 6, where I want you to tell the people and explain to them in an illustration and an example, if you will, how that if they marched in a continuous 7 day pattern, like keeping the Sabbath today, they would have marched on the 7th day.
Absolutely. That's a real nail in their coffin there on exposing the fallacy of the Saturday Sabbath. But you see how the adversary, he makes what they call a double smoke screen. He gives you a choice between Saturday and Sunday, and neither one of them's right.
Right.
Gives you a choice between baptizing titles, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, or name Jesus. Neither one of them's right.
Correct.
And people will make the better choice, like baptizing name Jesus would be better choice than the titles, and then keeping Saturday better choice than that, but neither one of them's right.
Correct.
And it's a double deception. Now, let me do just a little follow-up on what I was saying about that date line. And listen there.
Okay.
That didn't wake them up. Just it being that way, this should wake them up. Let's say they moved, and they've moved the date line before. And the 7 day Adventist had got up really upset. I think it was in, ain't been that long ago. I want to say 10 or 12 years ago. But it was out there in the island. You didn't hear too much about it. But they knew about it. But now, let's say it's running between, it could go down, they could put it right down the middle of a town. But they won't do that. But they have the power to do it. This is catch. They have the power to move it, and they can change your Sabbath. In other words, let's say you and your granddaddy and great-granddaddy was worshiping on a certain day for years, on Saturday, let's say, and all of a sudden they moved the date line on the other side of you. Now you're going to be worshiping on Sunday.
Oh.
And they think they have power to do that. Well, they do. That's a man-made date line.
Amen.
Can't fool with the moon.
Amen.
So they would have to admit, they have to acknowledge that somebody out there, see, we don't feel the effect of it because we're so far away from it, but somebody that keeps Saturday Sabbath has to admit that if they lived in that vicinity and they moved that date line, which all they got to do is with a stroke of pen say it's now here.
Right.
It's now here. They've changed your Sabbath. And so, you know, don't have power to change the Holy Sabbath.
Yeah, but the problem is, Arnold, the blind sheep will follow right along in obedience and still say they're keeping the Sabbath day.
Well, it's not meant for everybody, obviously, but, you know, you're talking about Joshua over there. That not only the march around Jericho, but when Joshua and them were commanded to come into the land, they were commanded to weigh the sheaf and on the morning of the Sabbath. Well, a lot of the Saturday keepers say, well, that's the morning of the seventh day, week of the seventh day, which I agree, but it's also the morning of the 15th, which I believe the morning of the 15th is the morning of the week of the Sabbath.
Amen.
I don't know if that'll register with somebody or not, but when they got into the land, then they'll turn around and try to argue, well, the Sabbath fell on the 14th. Because, see, then they say the morning of the Sabbath would have been the 15th. They're trying to get it off of that.
Right.
Who ever heard of waving a wave sheaf on the 15th?
No.
They always waved it according to the Septuagint, Philo, and Josephus, who lived there when the temple was standing, and Philo, even in the days of the Messiah. They said he done it on the 16th. And so, even Samuel...
Well, it looks like we've lost Brother Arnold here. Maybe he can call us back in. But however, let me continue Brother Arnold's thought here in Joshua. And this is in Joshua chapter 6, verse 2. And Yahweh said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto you thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor, and you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go about the city once. And you shall go and do this 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear upon them the ark of 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priest shall blow with the trumpets. Seeing that the march was commanded by Yahweh now to last for 7 consecutive days, a weekly Sabbath would define to fall within the period of the seventh-day march, at least for those who have hold a continuous seven-day count not anchored in any way by nature. Upon realizing this, we should notice that Yahweh has revealed to us in His holy word concerning the travel of the weekly Sabbath day is travel allowed on the Sabbath, or does Yahweh explicitly condemn travel on the Sabbath? Well, let's find out. In Exodus 16, we find the account of the giving of the manna by Yahweh to the children of Israel. He made it known to them in verse 4 and 5 of this account that they will receive manna for 6 days, but on the seventh day they will find none. And on the 6th day of the particular week, Yahweh commanded the Israelites to bake that which they will and see that which they will, verse 23, food preparation is also found in verse 5 of this chapter. We then find that immediately after Yahweh speaks to the Israelites concerning there being no more manna on the Sabbath, the Israelites would not listen. Now listen to what they've done. And it came to pass that they went out some of the people on the 7th day for together, and they found none. That's in Exodus 16, verse 27 now. And upon the children of Israel's venture, Yahweh was very displeased. And we can see in his statement to Moses in Exodus 16, 28. Now, let's notice what Yahweh told Joshua. So Yahweh said unto Moses and to Joshua, how long will you refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that Yahweh hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth it you, that on the 6th day the bread of 2 days, abide you every man in his place, and let no man go out on the 7th day. Yahweh here specifically now condemns their traveling on the Sabbath. And this was merely traveling a short space to gather manna. Much less instigating an attack through a battle march, which was obviously Yahweh does not desire to travel out of our places or worship on the Sabbath. So, something was very unnecessary, such as gathering manna or traveling for our own personal edification, is something altogether different. Now, notice this. We also see that limited travel on the Sabbath was understood by the believers of the first century in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 12. They returned unto Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. So we see that there was a specific distance that was considered before you could break a Sabbath day journey. The King James Bible says in a footnote on Acts 1 and 12 states that a Sabbath day journey was a distance that a Hebrew was allowed to travel on the Sabbath, about two-thirds of a mile. Smith's dictionary has somewhat to add on the passage as well when he states that the Sabbath day journey of 2,000 cubits is peculiar to the New Testament and arose from a rabbinical restriction. It was founded upon a universal application of the prohibition given by Moses for a special occasion. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day, Exodus 16:29, and an exception was allowed for the purpose of worshiping at the tabernacle. Now, you can worship and go to the tabernacle, and that's considered a Sabbath day's journey. In other words, you should appear before Yahweh on the Sabbath day. Now, let's go back to the formula here. Again, in Ezekiel chapter 46, verses 1 and 2. Here we see distinctively that they were to be at the open gates on the new moon. Now, if they started out, now let's go back to the example of Joshua's march. If they started to march on a new moon, which is what they did, and then they marched six more times after that, that would have been 7 days. And then on the 15th, it would have been, or the 8th, it would have been a Sabbath. And that's the very day that they worshiped or gained the victory, because at the end of the seventh day there, they blowed the ram's horns and the walls came down. And so we know that Israel did not march on a Sabbath day, which would have been the 8th day. They began on the new moon, and they marched on the new moon, and then they marched for 6 more days, and that was the 7th day march. And it kept the word of Yahweh preciously in tune or in synchronization with his Sabbaths. 1 is a new moon. 8 is the first Sabbath, because you've got to work 6 days after the new moon, and we're commanded in the Bible. Now, most people say, oh, that's under the law of Moses. We don't do that anymore. Well, tell me in the New Testament where it was done away with. I'll give you an example in Luke chapter 6, verse 1. They were continuously going through the fields. They were marching. Now, these are the brethren, the apostles, with the Messiah. They were with him. And they were walking on a Sabbath day. That's what the Bible says it was. And it was on a new moon that they marched into the wheat fields, and they were going through and they were plucking the corn, the little ears of the wheat, and they were rubbing them in their hand and blowing off the chaff, and they were eating the grain. And of course that was restrictive according to the Pharisaical doctrine. And it continued the next day, because it was a 2-day new moon. Just like Jonathan and David knew that it was a new moon, and it was also a 2-day new moon, because if you'll read, David was missed at the table on the first new moon day, and he was missed the second day. And Jonathan, they had already made up for Jonathan to stand in for David and explain to the king his absence. And that's exactly what happened on a new moon gathering of the king at the king's table, which was very common for them to assemble on a new moon. Well, in Exodus chapter 46 and verse 2, it says for us to gather before the open gate on the new moon. Well, people that keep a seventh day Saturday Sabbath, and me included for years and years, ladies and gentlemen, I don't expect you to know this until you hear the rest of the story. But after you've heard it, and it's irrefutable, and it's been proven by Brother Arnold and myself, and others as well that preach and teach a true... Now, there's a lot of Lunar Sabbath teachers that are not correct. They're using the wrong starting date. They don't use the conjunctions. We use the conjunction, which is a natural phenomenon, to mark the beginning of the Sabbath. If you keep it in the old conjunction, you're actually offline. So Yahweh even made a correct conjunction for you to mark that Sabbath day and to keep it correctly. And Brother Arnold and I have grown up in this, and we have learned these things, and every new revelation was a joy to our heart. We did it through the joy of seeking our Father. We weren't perfect starting out, and we don't expect you to be. But we do expect you, when you hear the truth and you hear such great men as Brother Arnold and myself and others that offer you a reward. Now, this is not to incite you, to insult you, or to amuse you, or to confuse you. This is to save you. The Bible said, save yourself from this untoward generation. We know that the Messiah, in the 7th chapter of the book of John, verses 22 and 23, he was healing on the Sabbath day. He healed a man, and he told him to take up his bed and walk, and the Jews jumped on him for carrying a burden, and the Messiah chided them for circumcising on the Sabbath day, which was an eighth day, according to the Bible. Some people think that the baby had to be at least 8 days old. It don't say that. It says circumcise him on the eighth day. Well, if we go to these examples of the eighth day, and I spent a whole hour, and I could do that, and perhaps we could do that sometime here, on the examples that we're using, we use a whole hour. It takes a whole hour and then some to give you the examples of the Bible that they were commanded, and they came together and they worshiped on the eighth day, not the seventh day, ladies and gentlemen. Now, you've got to revise your calendar. The Gregorian calendar gives you a continuously 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then they do away with the new moon application. They throw it out the window. And just like I told you about the Julian calendar that Brother Arnold brought to you in the 46 B.C., when they devised this Julian calendar, revised it in 1583 by Pope Gregory, and they put in these unlawful time changes, and in Daniel 7:25 it says they will think to change times and laws, and in Isaiah 14 it describes Satan desiring to set over the Moeds, or the appointed times, so that he could change them and that he could be at the command of thousands or perhaps millions of people worshiping on the wrong day. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's just like going to a heart surgery. If you had a time when you were to appear before the heart surgeon, and he set up everything in the operating room, and he got all his staff, which is very expensive. I mean, these men make lots of money. And the staff that it takes to open your heart and attend to you, and if you don't show up on that day, and you go off and play another round of golf and say, well, I'll go in tomorrow. Well, you go in tomorrow, and I guarantee your appointment's been canceled. And it's highly doubtful that if you'd be very fortunate to get another appointment out of that doctor. And these specialists are very, very timely when they schedule an appointment. You better keep it, or if they schedule you, you'll be glad you did it, because if you miss too many of them, they will exit you out of their appointment list, and you'll no longer seek or get the desired medical attention that you get. So it's very important. Now think about this. The greatest heart surgeon in the world is waiting to operate on your heart. And the Bible said he's not very far away from you. And we know by example that he appears on the Sabbath day to worship or to commune with his people. Now, don't you know that Yahweh has got a time for you to appear, and he's the great heart surgeon? Do you want your heart worked on? Do you want to know the truth? Do you seek the truth? Now, the Bible says if you would draw near to Yahweh, Yahweh will, in return, draw near to you. But if you hold back, if you refuse to walk in, remember Lot's wife, she refused to walk in, and she looked back. Ladies and gentlemen, when you hear this truth, there's no more covering for your Saturday or Sunday. And the Bible said judgment begins right at your heart. And before you can ever get into the operating room of the Holy Shekinah, the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, you must appoint yourself to come on the appropriate day and begin to keep Yahweh's Sabbath, where He will meet with you and He will gather with you, because it says, where two or three are gathered together, there He is in the midst of you. Now, we know that by seeking Him. But the times appointed is His special times for Him to commune with you. And the Bible says, the eyes of Yahweh run to and fro in the earth, beholding the activities of man. He knows if you've got an honest heart. He knows if you're in this ministry just to make money or impress people. I've been through all that in my 30 years of Pentecostal preaching. I mean, you know, if you were flying away and you were swinging on the rafters and you were doing all these great things that looked like a fair show in the flesh, everybody would get excited and they think this was a great power of God, just like Simon the Sorcerer down in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. However, if you come with solid revelation, you come with detailed knowledge on the proper Sabbath days, you'll find that people are reluctant. They'll scratch their head. They'll argue with you. They'll rebel. They'll say, well, are you saying that I'm lost because I don't keep the lunar Sabbath? No, I didn't say that. I haven't said that because if you don't keep it, the Bible says it'd be better for you to not know the way. Now, if you know the way, then you're not excused. If you don't know the way, and the Bible says, where much is known, much is required. You see what I'm talking about? Once you hear this, and then turn your foot and refuse to walk in, then there remains no more sacrifice for your error. And the heart surgeon, who is waiting to perform spiritual surgery on your heart to get you to see this revelation, you've got to come to the King. You've got to appear to Him on the day of His... And if you need the help of Yahweh, you need the things that are given to you through the Holy Spirit. That's probably Brother Arnold trying to call back in, but since I'm on the drop box here, I can't take his call. But, ladies and gentlemen, we love you, and we appreciate you. We know that the time is nigh, even at the door, when Yahweh will have you to account. Now, if the Bible says, be sure that your sins find you out, we hope and trust that tonight's message, and I'm sorry that we've lost Brother Arnold, it's just technical stuff, that you can get knocked off the line very easy, and I do understand down at WWRB in Nashville area, they're having storms. We had to call in on a special number tonight just to get in because the line that we normally call in has been knocked out with lightning. You see, radio equipment is very sensitive, and electrical storms and discharges are preventing, and we've had an unusual amount, especially since me and Brother Arnold has been teaching on this lunar Sabbath. So if you've missed any of the messages, I encourage you to write myself or Brother Arnold. Brother Arnold just sent me a new booklet of the weekly Sabbath days are determined by the moon. This is written by Brother Arnold Bowen and Brother Matthew Jensen. That's Brother Arnold's son-in-law, Brother Matthew, another learned scholar in the Bible. And they have this booklet free of charge. If you'd like to have this booklet tonight, all you've got to do is to give my good buddy, Brother Arnold, or Brother Matthew, a call down in Conyers, Georgia, and I'll give you Brother Arnold's telephone number, and you can call him, and they'll make sure that you get this booklet. It's example after example. It's chock full of history and examples. Brother Arnold's number is 1-770-483-8542. Now that's 1-770-483-8542. Call for this booklet. You'll be glad that you did. Tell them that you heard Pastor Buddy and Brother Arnold teaching on this wonderful revelation of Lunar Sabbath. If you'd like to have it, it'll be sent to you free of charge. Brother Arnold never charges one dime for the material that he gives out. If you'd like to send him a love offering, that he could use on the radio, he will apply it to the radio station. So if you'd like to do that, or you can call me. That's Pastor Buddy at area code 423-626-2172. Now that's area code 423-626-2172. Now if you'd like to write me, Pastor Buddy, simply address your cards and letters to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me, again, area code 423-626-2172. And our website is up and running good. If you'd like to visit our website, strictly go to oneyahweh.com. That's www.oneyahweh.com, and tune in to our website. We've got many articles posted up there that I have written. Brother Arnold's written some. Brother Matthew's written some. We have them posted there for your information. If you like Brother Arnold's website, it's .info.com. That's lunarsabbath.info.com. I believe that's it. We love you, and we appreciate you, and we've enjoyed being with you tonight. Again, I apologize for losing my good buddy, Brother Arnold. He was just on a roll, and he just dropped off the line for some reason. They may be having storms in that area. I do know that down in Arkansas, our webmaster, Brother Bob, informed me that that it was extremely hot down there, and that's when you bring in violent thunderstorms of extreme hot weather and the cold air and the jet stream meshes, and it causes large hail. In Knoxville, Tennessee last night, we had hail, a three-quarters of an inch size hail down here, and we had high winds that blowed over trees and things. So we've had some unusual storms in the mountains here of East Tennessee and down in Central Tennessee where our radio station is located, WWRB 3.185. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's just been such a pleasure to be with you tonight, and we know and we do believe that Yahweh is coming soon for a people that love him and those who have kept the faith and hasn't denied his name. We'll see ya. Me and Brother Arnold will be back with you now. That'll be actually we'll be here Wednesday night at 10 o'clock. You don't want to miss that show. I'm sure we're going to have something good for you. So if you'd like to tune us in, you can do so by going to WWRB 3.185. We're also simulcasting off of Internet Tonight Live. Just go to WWRB to their web page, click on Galaxy 1 or the radio show, and you'll find us there. Or you can tune us in on your shortwave systems at 3.185 around the world. This is Pastor Buddy saying good night, and y'all bless you. And we'll see you Wednesday night.
Sometimes I get up happy. Sometimes I lay down wrong. Sometimes I think I see it, but I'm wrong. Sometimes I just don't get it, and sometimes I really do.
Hang it, Brother Boy.
The only thing that matters is in the cold.